chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, something Pastor Braden said earlier, I think when he was praying about us being out at nighttime. And I think one of the blessings is right now when you're out at nighttime, it's noticeable. We're not in competition. Don't misunderstand when I say this, but you could drive through just about all of Byesville, and there's a lot of churches in Byesville, and pretty much all of Cambridge tonight, and there's a lot of churches there, and most of them will be darkened. Most of them, the parking lots are empty, the church lights are not on, there are no services being held on Sunday night. I'm thankful for a church, and you understand it's not just the pastor, it's the church. I'm thankful for a church that is here on Sunday night, and the community knows. They know. Especially they knew last Sunday night when we all gathered in here while they were in the midst of their time as we all gathered in. They know the lights are on at Bible Baptist Church. The lights are on inside of Bible Baptist Church. There's people in there singing. I'm not sure this is what he was doing, but Brother Braden, Brother Jeff this morning, when we were singing congregational, I noticed he was standing outside. I think he had the doors open, and I think, if I know what he was doing, because he does this before, he was making sure that everybody outside could hear the singing that was going on inside. Just open up those doors and let them hear. There's people in there singing for the Lord. Well, it's a little chilly to do it in the evening service, but when they see the lights here, they know there's people here that love the Lord, and we're here because of that. So praise the Lord on a Sunday night, even when it's dark early outside, we can be here together in the light. And that's a blessing. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse number 7 and read down to verse 12. 1 John chapter 4. And I don't think anybody took it out of my Bible while I was gone. There it is. 1 John, I actually took my Bible with me. That was a joke, all right. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Down through verse number 12. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank You now for this time we can spend together around Your Word. And Lord, consider those thoughts and those things that You've laid upon my heart for the evening. I pray, God, that they'd be a blessing to Your people as they have been a blessing and encouragement to me as I have prepared. And Lord, I pray You would get honor and glory. Father, may we be drawn closer to the God that we claim that we love, that, Father, we do love. Father, need to show it better and more often. But Father, I pray You'd use Your Word tonight to challenge our hearts to love You more and to love You better. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll say this tonight. We've been going through 1 John, and this is where we should be, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We did the first six verses last week. And we saw what we are supposed to do about trying the spirits. And so we are on schedule to be in these verses tonight. But can I give a disclaimer? When the preacher is out of town, driving all day Wednesday and getting to church down in Tennessee Wednesday night, and then taking a tour on Thursday and being busy till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and then Friday, pretty much the same schedule, and Saturday we got up, packed up, and drove back here and got back in the evening, and knew I had to get ready for Sunday morning, so I did. In the midst of all that, I didn't have time to prepare 1 John chapter 4 like I've done all our other lessons. I hope you understand that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of reading. It takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of research. It takes a lot of thinking, outlining, planning, cross-referencing, all that kind of stuff. So with my schedule this week, I did not get to do our regular outline of 1 John chapter 4, and yet the thought, or a thought related to it, has been burning on my heart all this week. And so that's what I want to give you this evening. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 12. And as you look at those verses, just kind of glance at your Bible at those verses we just read, and look at a word, see if you can find a word that's repeated in every verse, and many times more than once. I tried not to emphasize it when I was reading it because that makes it kind of obvious, but if I were to read it like this way, like this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I'll not read through. I think you got what the key word is there. That word is love. 1 John chapter 1, this is not the outline that we've been looking at, but another commentator gives it this way. He says, 1 John chapter 1 is God is light. Verse number 5 says, in Him is light and there is no darkness at all. God is light, chapter 1. God is love, chapter 2, 3, and 4. And it's a good outline. I think it's Warren Wiersbe that did it. God is love, chapter 2, 3, and 4. I'll come back to that in just a moment. And chapter 5, God is life. 1 John 5:13, you know, that you may know that you have everlasting life. So God is light, God is love, God is life. And in that middle section, chapters 2 to 4, that we've seen is all about love. That word love is used 30 times. In these three chapters, 30 times, John is emphasizing the importance of our love for God, first of all, and our love for one another. We cannot love one another as we ought until we love God first. And so John is challenging us to love God so that we can properly love one another. And 30 times that word is used in these two chapters. Now that's not surprising, because we also know that in the Gospel of John, which was written by this same individual John, in that word he uses that word love or lovest or loveth 53 times in 21 chapters in that gospel. Now, obviously, this is more in John and 1 John. He uses that word more than any other writers, sometimes more than any two other writers combined. John, we call him the Apostle of Love. And as we look at John's love tonight and his emphasis on love, I want you to see the difference that love made in the life of John himself. The difference that love made in his life. I want to be careful. I don't want to disrespect, there's a good word, Peter or Matthew or any of the other apostles or disciples. But I want to emphasize that John was the apostle of love. He's the one that emphasized that. And it made a difference in his behavior from the other disciples. Now, sometimes we get a wrong impression of John. And I think Bible teachers are guilty of doing this. We picture John as soft. We picture John as tender and compassionate. It's not that he wasn't tender and compassionate, but you remember who John, Peter, James, and John, the fishermen. James, he wasn't a soft-handed fisherman. He was a calloused-handed commercial fisherman. In fact, the Lord called him and his brother sons of what? Thunder. So John is not effeminate. John is not soft. He is one of the 12 disciples of the Lord. And yet at the same time, he could love God. You don't have to be soft to have love. You don't have to be different to love. You can be hardened. You can be manly, if I would say, to the men, and you can be womanly to the women. We can be that and still have this capacity of love, and we need to have that love. We don't need to think that love softens us. And John uses this word repeatedly, and he shows it in his life. Let's look at some of the characteristics of John that made him different from the others because of his love. Go back to the Gospel of John. All these will be found here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. There are four of them as I've got them listed here. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Go down with me, if you would, to verse number 21. John chapter 13 and verse number 21. Jesus is sitting with His disciples. And it says in John 13, 21, when Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray Me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom He spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples, notice this phrase, whom Jesus loved. This phrase is used four times here in the Gospel of John to describe one of the 12 apostles. And if you know your Bible study, if you've looked it up, this is John referring to himself. He didn't want to be so proud as to say, I was the one leaning on Jesus' breast. So he kind of goes third person on us. And he said, there was at this supper, as the 12 disciples are gathered around, there was one leaning on his breast, the Bible, and he's described one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, not that he didn't love the rest, but there's a special relationship between him and this disciple. Notice verse 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Jesus had said, one of you is going to betray me. So Peter, being farther away from the Lord, now don't write too much into that, they're all in close proximity at the time. But Peter, not being the one leaning on Jesus' bosom, on his breast, he asked John to ask the Lord who it is that's going to betray him. Verse 25, he then laying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? John has a private conversation with the Lord. A conversation that's not overheard because the Lord's going to answer John's question, but the other disciples don't hear the answer. So it's spoken at such a level, such a quietness, that only the Lord and John are privy to this information. Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. The Lord took that bread that was in his hand, calls it a sop. He took that bread and he dipped it in the juice that they dipped it in to tenderize it, to soften it before they ate it. And he dipped it in and he gave it to Judas Iscariot. Now, nobody else at the table knew what was going on but John himself. John was privy to this personal information between him and the Lord. And after the sop, verse 27 says, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. The next verse tells us that they thought, well, because Judas was the treasurer and had the bag with the money, maybe the Lord was sending him out for some supplies, something like that. But only John knew what was going on as they sat around that table. That disciple whom Jesus loved, and the one whom the disciple loved. Let me say this. Number one, love causes you to draw closer. Love will cause you to draw closer. Have you ever been to Walmart? That's not the end of the question. Have you ever been to Walmart and as you're walking, you see that elderly couple walking into the entrance doors, holding hands with each other, smiles on their faces, happiness, and you just look at that and say, that's love. I was thinking of that as you look at that elderly couple, I'm thinking now people are thinking of me when they say that, walking into, that's somebody said, the terrible thing is you go to your class reunion and everybody else is old. And you've seen the older couple that's holding hands, or you know, you see the pictures or the stories about grandma and grandpa sitting out in their rockers on the porch and just spending their days and their times together. That love. Love causes you to draw closer. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, those things that you love, you want a closeness to. We don't always get to have it, but love makes you draw closer. Here's the Last Supper. Here's Jesus handing out that bread, and leaning upon his breast is that disciple whom Jesus loved because he loved him. And it caused him, I don't think, you know, we're left to speculate some things. I don't think when they got to sit around the table that John elbowed everybody else so he could get closer to the Lord. I don't think that's how. I don't think there was assigned seating, alphabetical order on how the Lord sat there. I'm not sure how they all sat there, but it just so happened. It just so happened that John sat closest to the Lord and leaned upon his breast. I'm going to borrow now some points from Brother Griffiths, who he preached this here several years ago. Brother Braden preached about how you hear a message. Do you walk out with it? Do you keep that message? Well, I did because I wrote them down here right at the bottom of my page. Now, he mentioned that again this morning, but I did that. But here's what Brother Griffiths said years ago when he was preaching on this text. He said, John was close enough to hear. The other disciples didn't hear what Jesus said. Only John heard that. Do you want to hear what other people don't hear? Love God. Now, I'm not talking about he's going to pick you out and give you a special revelation and tell you what's going to happen, or he's not going to give you visions of that. But a close relationship gives you an inside track. You know, when you love your wife and spend a lot of time with them and get around them, you know things about them nobody else knows. You know their likes and their dislikes. You know what upsets them, and hopefully you avoid that. You know, and women from husbands too. You get to know each other. When you love each other, you know things that nobody else knows about them. If you love God, you're going to know things that a lot of people don't know. You're going to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that a lot of other folks don't have. It's just that simple. Because they don't love Him. We can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but it's not just the words. We can tell our spouses, "Oh, I love you," but it's not just the words. There's got to be more to it than that. John could hear when Jesus said, the words to him, I'm trying to find it here, "He it is to whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped it." John was the one that heard those words. He was also close enough, this is what Brother Griffith said years ago, give honor where honor is due. He said John was close enough to ask. Peter was farther away and asked John to ask the Lord who it was that was going to betray him. Peter had to ask John to ask Jesus. Peter was too far away to ask Jesus himself. Now we're using this for illustration's sake, and I know he wasn't that far away, but he was far enough that he didn't hear it when Jesus said it. And he had to go to John for John to ask the question, and John was close enough to the Lord to have an answer that the Lord gave him for Peter. We need to be that close to God, that we can intercede for others, that we can speak to others on the Lord's behalf. And to do that, we have to love Him. Compassion, warmth, we need those qualities. He was close enough to hear. He was close enough to ask. And Brother Griffith said, thirdly, he was close enough to know it wasn't him. You know what happened when Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me"? You read Matthew, you read Mark. You know what happened according to those accounts that night? They all, one at a time, went around the table and said, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" John's the only one that knew it wasn't him, because he said, "He, the one I hand the sop to when I dip it in the that'll be the one." John's the only one that didn't ask the question, "Is it I?" He had assurance. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ will give you assurance. A relationship with God will give you assurance and encouragement. It's good to draw close to the Lord. Draw nigh unto God, the Bible says. Then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We should draw close to God. And John, the disciple, was the apostle of love because he learned to draw close to God. Did you know you can talk to God anytime? All the time? That line is open 24/7. How often do we use it? How can we say we love someone when we rarely speak to them? How can we say we love someone when we rarely commune with them? How can we say we love someone when we spend so little time with them? Oh, do you love the Lord? Love will cause you to draw close. You know what I can say for all of us here tonight? We all need to love Him more. Because we all need to draw closer. Draw me nearer, nearer is the song that we sing. And the prayer of our heart every service, every day ought to be, "God, draw me closer." Not just so we can get the inside information and have other people ask us so we can ask the Lord, but simply so we can be close to God. Love draws us closer. Secondly, look at John chapter 18, if you would. John chapter 18. Here's a part of the crucifixion story that many folks never catch on to, never notice. And it involves John, and it involves Peter. Just as in John 13, John is close to the Lord and Peter's a little far off. And again, I'm not trying to speak ill of Peter. Peter was the one God chose to preach on Pentecost. He's the one that was given the keys of the kingdom and opened the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. So we're not trying to put him aside. But in these in the gospel, as we look at this, John is the one leaning on Jesus' breast. All right, Peter was a great disciple, a great apostle of faith. Lord caused me to walk on the water, and he did. Again, we all criticize Peter for walking on the water. Nobody else did it. You wouldn't do it. He was the apostle of faith. John is the apostle of love. And love was leaning on Jesus' breast when faith was a little bit farther away. Again, that's not a good illustration of it. But notice this in John chapter 18. Look at verse number 15. You know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they took Jesus prisoner, the disciples all fled. Now, I've heard preachers say this, and we've taught this before. All the disciples fled except for one. Simon Peter followed afar off. Can I tell you that's not right? That's not true. There were two disciples that didn't flee. Notice in John chapter 18 and verse number 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, all right? This is when the others had fled. He followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. When they were taking Jesus in before Pontius Pilate for this mock trial they were going to have, they walked inside the gates of that palace or inside the gates of that private place. The fires that were burning were inside this gated place. The trial at the pavement was going to be inside this gated place. And this disciple was already in there. He was the first one in there. At this point, he's the only one in there, the only disciple in there. And the Bible says in verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without. Peter didn't follow close enough to get in that door when they took the Lord in. Peter was following afar off, as you know. But there was another disciple who got in when the door was open, walked in with Jesus. Verse 16, Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. That third person disciple, again, is that disciple whom Jesus loved. That third person disciple, it's got to be one of the 12, and it is John who is writing the story and giving the account. John was known to the high priest, and because of that, he had a relationship that allowed him to be inside that fort, as it were, that place where the pavement was. And Peter was yet outside until that disciple that was inside, verse 16, then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest and spake unto her that kept the door and brought Peter in. We all know about Peter coming in and sitting down at the fire and warming his hands. He wouldn't have even gotten that far if it wasn't for that disciple who was up there at the front, closer to Jesus at the time than Peter was. And that disciple was John. While the other disciples had fled for fear, while Peter's faith was shaken, and he's outside the gate, love sustained John. You know what the Bible tells us? Look at 1 John. Keep your place here. We'll be right back. But look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And verse number 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Can I say it this way? John had a love that Peter had not yet experienced. Now, I know that's a bold statement. John had a love that Peter had not yet experienced. John was inside, close to the Lord, at the pavement hall, at the judgment hall, and Peter was outside and had to be summoned to get inside by someone to whom John said, let that man in, bring him in here. Perfect love casteth out all fear. John's love perfected him. He was closer to the Lord. The second thing I wanted to say, I said love causes you to draw closer. Number two, love casts out fear. That's what he said in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18. Now it sounds like maybe an incorrect statement to say that John had a love that Peter didn't yet experience. But may I simply submit to you that Jesus never said to John, "John, lovest thou me more than these?" He had to ask Peter that question 3 times. He never had to ask John that question. John's life exemplified the love that he had for the Lord. He was willing to follow the Lord all the way, even inside that judgment hall. He was not worried. He was not fearful. Love was not going to allow him to be separated from his Savior. Love casts out fear. Peter stands outside. Fear stands outside. Love follows the Lord right inside all the way. Do you love the Lord? Do you love Him enough to follow Him even when nobody else is following Him? You willing to follow Him when even those Peters and James and those others have forsaken Him and not followed Him? Do you love Him enough to follow Him if it takes by yourself? Fear casts out, or love casts out that fear. Notice that John's love caused him to invite someone else to come inside. He told the damsel, hey, and I don't know how the story went. He told the damsel, hey, there's a guy out there, he's wearing this or he looks like that, and I want you to go and let him come in too. That took some special inside power to do that. But the damsel went out at John's bidding and brought Peter inside. If it weren't for John, Peter wouldn't have been brought inside. Love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. John had that kind of love. That's why we call him the Apostle of Love. That's why he uses the word so often. Look, if you would, over at John chapter 19, one more chapter. Love causes you to draw closer. Love casts out fear. Then notice John chapter 19, and this kind of ties into what we just saw. John chapter 19, look down at verse number 25. John chapter 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. We're now talking about the cross on Calvary's hill, the place where Jesus Christ is crucified, where his life is going to expire, humanly speaking. And the only ones that are gathered there are these three women, Jesus, his mother, his mother's sister, and Mary Magdalene. That's always confusing. Three Marys. The three Marys that were at the cross. But verse 26 says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and that disciple standing by whom he loved. That disciple standing by whom he loved. You realize at the cross of Calvary, only one disciple was there, and it was John. Love could not separate him from his Savior. Again, not trying to diminish the other disciples, but he was the only one there. Where is blind Bartimaeus? Where is Lazarus? That one he just rose from the dead, raised him from the dead, and was alive again. And again, not trying to speak ill of Lazarus, but why isn't he there? Where are the 5,000 Jesus fed? Where are the lame, the blind? Where's the widows whose sons Jesus brought back to life? The only one there is John. Can you understand John had an exceptional love for Jesus Christ? He is our role model, if you would. He is our challenge when it comes to loving God. Then saith he to the disciple, verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus entrusted the keeping of his own mother whom he loved. Some folks say, well, back there in John chapter 2, when he turned the water to wine, he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? That was not a disrespectful comment. And the times and the ages and the way he worded it was completely appropriate for that time. And it was not disrespectful for him the way he spoke to his mother that way. In our modern lingo, we would interpret it that way, but it was not. And his love showed on Calvary when he looked down and saw that one disciple that went that leaned on his breast at the Last Supper, that went into the judgment hall and followed him all the way in when nobody else would, and now was here at the cross when no one else was there either. And he says to that disciple, "Behold your mother." And to that mother, "Behold thy son." Love will cause you to be where you should be. Every disciple should have been at the cross. Everyone whose life Jesus touched should have been there. But only John, the apostle of love. Understand when we say this, we're not talking about a competition. This is not a race where John's trying to run and be close to everybody else. John's just doing what is coming natural from his heart to do. He wants to love God. And so that puts him right there where he is, at the foot of the cross, right there where Jesus is being crucified and the three Marys are gathered together, where many others should have been. But only John was. Keep your place there, but look back at John, 1 John chapter 3. Well, stay in John first. Go back to John 13. John 13. Here's what John wrote before he leaned on Jesus' breast. Before he went into Pilate's judgment hall. Before he went all the way to the cross. John, Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse number 34. John recorded it. Jesus said it. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another." You know that phrase, "that you love one another," appears 3 times here in the Gospel of John. Another 5 times in the first epistle of John, "that you love one another." John tried to emphasize that to those, especially in his epistle to whom he wrote, that you love one another. A love for God has to precede a love for one another. When you love God, you'll love the people of God. You'll love the things of God. You'll love the church of God when you love God first. John encourages us to love Him. When you love Him, it will cause you to draw close. When you love Him, it will cast out fear. When you love Him, I don't know if I gave you the third one, you will care for others. Inviting Peter inside. Taking care of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It will cause you to care for others. That's what love will do. You know, sometimes you shake hands with somebody and they begin to tell you their woes and you've already fast-forwarded and you're moving on past it. That's not love. Even if you can't do anything, just simply to look at them and say, "I'm sorry for what you're going through. I'm sorry for your hardships. I wish there was something I could do, but I will pray for you." That's love. Love for one another. Now, if we're able to do it, we're able to do something to help, that's even much more necessary. But when we can't, we can still show love. Love makes a difference. Some having compassion, making a difference. Love cares for others. Then number 4, I don't have a reference for this. I guess it would be John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Jesus is at the cross, John is at the cross when no other disciple is. And he tells us in verse 28 of John 19, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things that were now accomplished, as Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." Let me ask you a question. How many disciples heard him say, "I thirst"? How many of the 5,000 he fed? How many of those he worked the miracles on? Who heard him say, "I thirst," other than John? Now, the three Marys were there. We've got that. But John says, Jesus said, I thirst. Verse 29, there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. You know who heard Jesus say that? John. Not Matthew. Not Mark. Not Luke. John. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the events of the crucifixion. They tell us what happened that day. They even tell us what was said by Jesus. They don't tell us it was finished. They don't tell us, I thirst. Matthew and Mark, I believe it is, Matthew and Mark record that Jesus said, my God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what Matthew and Mark wrote down that Jesus said. Luke wrote down that Jesus said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. John wrote, it is finished. Now, I'm not trying to compare the difference, but can I tell you this? How does Matthew know what was spoken at the cross? Humanly speaking, he got it from John. How did Mark know what was said at the cross? Humanly speaking, he got it from John. How does Luke know that Jesus said, into thy hands I commend my spirit? He wasn't there. Now again, he could have asked others, I understand, but John was the one that was the eyewitness that was there and heard it and told the others. And if you know anything about the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke were all written first. John was written much later after that, and John pretty much writes the things that Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't write about. John doesn't write about those miracles that they wrote about. He writes about eight miracles, and only one of them is the same as the other miracles the others write about. John gives us all new information that wasn't covered by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But what they wrote about the crucifixion, they knew because the disciple John was the one that was there. Love, this is point number four, love gives you a special relationship with the Lord. Love gives you a special relationship with the Lord. John, again, heard things that no one else heard. Saw things that no one else saw. Huh. You think Calvary was something? Have you read the book of Revelation? Have you read chapter 4 where John says, I was caught up and a door was opened in heaven? And from chapter 4 all the way through chapter 19... he writes about amazing, unbelievable things that we are still trying to sort out and decipher and understand with all clearness and completeness. He was shown the future. He was shown the rapture. He was shown the second coming of Christ. He's shown the revelation. He's shown the kingdom being built. He was shown all those things. He had a special relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying if you and I love God, He's going to give us an addendum to the book of Revelation. That's not going to happen. He's not going to show us things that happened at Calvary, but you will have a relationship with Jesus Christ that will get you through times that others struggle with. You'll have a relationship with the Lord, and He will show you things that other people in their life just never get a grasp of. Now again, this is not a race. We're not trying to outlove one another. This is available to every single individual child of God. That all of us can love the Lord enough that we draw closer to Him. All of us can love the Lord enough where it casts out fear. All of us can love the Lord enough where we care for others as we ought. And all of us can love God, love the Lord enough to have a special relationship with Him where others will come to us for information. What do you think the Lord is trying to do? What do you think He's trying to say? Why is He doing this in my life? Why is He doing that? John had that special relationship because he loved the Lord. They came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus said, the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is the foundation of the first two commandments. Loving God, loving others. This apostle of love, as we continue next week and go on with 1 John chapter 4 and get into this love section, remember of whom we're speaking. That disciple that had exceptional love for Jesus Christ. And not so exceptional that you and I can't have the same thing. Say, who am I 2,000 years later that I could love the Lord the way John did? You can. And we ought to. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.